Well, folks, we are coming toward the end of our Armor of God series. Is that coming across any better now? It's not the amplification, it's the problems, it's the voice, Stefan. We're coming toward the end of our Armor of God series, and we're going to stick with Ephesians chapter 6. So let me just read through the verses that we've been sitting in over the course of the summer months. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so the day of evil comes, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I just want to take a few moments to look at this particular piece of the armory. It's the shield of faith. And I guess a little simple look at what Paul had in mind when he was thinking through this. Of course, we know he was probably thinking of a Roman soldier. A Roman soldier who had this type of equipment to hand. And this is likely the image of the shield that Paul had in his mind, the shield of faith. This particular shield was called a scutum, and you can see that it actually is quite a large shield, can't you? It offers great defensive cover. Now, I'm told I did a little bit of reading about this particular Roman shield, and I'm told that it was, despite how it looks, actually quite light. It wasn't that heavy. Obviously, these soldiers would have to hold a shield in place sometimes for hours and hours at end, so it had to be light enough to be carried for long distances and in place for long periods of time. But it had to be big enough to give the proper protection to the soldier who would use it. And you can see that if a soldier had this in combat, then it added and it offered to the particular soldier great, great cover. It made him a very, very difficult target from missiles and also in hand-to-hand combat. But the great thing, because the soldiers felt so protected by the shield, it also built morale. They felt really confident going into battle. And that's a really, really important thing for soldiers, that they don't lose morale, that they're not already beaten before they go into battle. So the shield offered physical protection, but it also helped them mentally. It helped them mentally stay confident. Now, we want to do a little bit of a demonstration as to how effective these shields could potentially be. Now, I have to give you a warning at this point. It's going to get messy in here, okay? Now, you will see that our kids have been making different bits and pieces of the armor over this particular summer. And I need somebody to come up and volunteer. Tracy did offer, but I'm thinking I might get somebody else. What do you think? Or you want to have it? Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to give out 200 plastic balls and get you to throw them at Tracy, who's going to hide behind the shield, right? So do you want to have a shot at Tracy, or do you want to have a shot at me? What would you prefer? You look a little bit too excited about it, Xander. Or Zachy? I think it's me, Tracy. Okay, so can we give out the armor? Not the armor, the missiles. Okay. So hopefully this works, because the point is that it's going to be very, very difficult for you to hit me. So, grab a ball. What do we think shield-wise, guys? What do you think is going to offer the best protection? Not that little one. I quite like that one. Okay. So? What do you think? Has everybody got a ball? I'm going to give you permission to stand up. What I'm going to ask you to do is not throw them at each other until after the service. Okay. So, if you want a ball, make sure you get one or even two so you can have a couple of shots. Eddie, you have to go to the back. I see you. Okay, so you can imagine I'm a soldier and I'm getting my armor together. Pardon? Okay. So I'm going to start, somebody start a countdown from 10, and once you get to 1, then you're free to have a shot, okay? 10. Okay, okay. What? What did we think of the shield? Marks out of 10. 8. Who made that shield? Tracy made that shield. That is a pretty effective weapon. I think I need a little bit of a breather there for a second. Okay. So, can you see the idea of the shield coming into play? I think Tracy maybe is going to... We're going to have another go at that in a few minutes, okay? Only not at me. We're going to get all the kids up here and the adults are going to take a shot at the kids. Be careful, you three. So, we get an idea of what Paul is talking about, and he actually links the shield to the ability to extinguish arrows that are fired out at the believer. But Paul links this major piece of defensive armory, the shield, to faith. It's the shield of faith. You know, he's not speaking about a literal shield that he's urging Christians to use, though of course some Christians who perhaps serve in the military, for example, they do have shields and wear body armor. But Paul is speaking metaphorically. He's not talking of a literal shield. But the point is this, that faith acts like a defensive shield to us. We've said it on more than one occasion going through the armor, that almost all the armor listed is defensive in nature. God gives us defensive armory, in part because he cares so much for us. He wants us to be protected. He wants us to be well equipped for life in the world, whatever it may throw at us. But if Paul lists the shield to faith, that begs two questions for me, and hopefully it begs them for you. And these are the two questions rolled into one. What is faith? Which I think is a really great question to ask. What is faith? It's a fundamental element of what it means to be a Christian, to be a person of faith. And how does faith shield us? How does it defend us? And if you want a stock answer, faith at its elemental level, at its most basic foundational aspect, faith is this, and it's simply this: the belief that God will keep his promises. If you ever wonder what the Bible is talking about when it talks about faith, it is this: God will keep his promises, a belief that God will keep his promises. It's not the kind of cross your fingers, have faith, everything will be all right in the night, hoping that it works out well. No, it is a sincere and a grounded belief that God will keep his promises. That's what faith is. If you wonder if you have faith, well, the answer to that question is yes, if you believe that God will keep his promises. And one of the reasons that Scripture is such a gift to us is that it is a recollection of the ways in which God has kept his promises to his people and to the world throughout the millennia. It's one of the things that we build our faith upon. But we also know that that same belief, it works itself out in our lives, doesn't it? There are those of us whom God has promised things to, and we know that he has come good on his promises. So faith is the belief that God keeps his promises. So how does it act as a defensive shield? Well, faith is the mechanism by which we extinguish doubts. Faith is the mechanism by which we overcome temptation. Faith is the way that we resist evil. And that is part and parcel of being a human. The temptation to embrace the darker elements of our personalities and our characters. The temptation to walk down a path that is contrary to the one that the Lord would have for us. And it comes to us all. No one of us is left out of it. From little Zeki being sent out to school for the first time, a human being with choices in front of him, to Taibo coming to the end of his degree and stepping that next step out into the world. For you and I in the workplace, you and I in family and home and in community, it's always there. But our faith, our belief in the promises of God is one of the principal ways in which we extinguish the bad stuff that's fired at us. Let me give you an example. My dad was a soldier for the best part of 15 odd years in Northern Ireland, where I grew up. And every year he would have to go off on camp for a couple of weeks in the year. Sometimes they would go to various military bases in England, sometimes across in Germany, where up until recently the army had bases. And so he would go off for a couple of weeks, and he would leave my mum at the mercy of me and my sister. But he didn't just leave her without a little bit of backup. And he would sit me and my sister down, and he would make two promises to us. Two promises to my sister and I. And the first thing was, I'll be back. I will come back. Now, that was both a good thing. Oh, Dad, I'm going to miss you so much. Don't go, blah, blah, blah. I'll be back, son. It's okay. But it also was, and I'll be back. Do you see the difference? But he also would promise to get me a gift, okay? And I would ask him for something. It was very, very difficult for him to get. I have a suspicion that my mum went out and got it because he didn't really have the spare time to go shopping for me. But he always delivered on the thing that I asked for. So he would promise to be back, I will come back, and I will bring you a gift. They were the two promises he made to me, okay? He would then leave me or hold me account to two promises that he would get me to make. And the first one was this, that I would behave myself and do what my mum told me to do. Yeah? Stefan, I want you to promise me when I'm away, you'll do what your mum tells you to do and you'll behave yourself. Kind of two promises wrapped in one. It's one and the same thing. Obey your mum's like behaving yourself, isn't it? Mums know best. Yeah? You sure? There you go. I'm giving you a moment here, mums. Press home your advantage. So he would make me promise that, and he would make me promise not to fight with my sister. Seems reasonable, doesn't it? I'll be back and I'll bring you a gift. You obey your mom and don't fight with your sister. And on one level, I exercised faith in my dad. In the sense of what the Bible teaches about faith, it's belief that God will keep true to his promises. I had faith in my dad, and it wasn't a groundless faith. It was built on the experience of my dad going away and coming back and bringing me a gift. It wasn't pie in the sky. It wasn't, you know, hope for the best. No, it was grounded in the fact that my dad was a promise-keeping dad. Yeah. Now, he kept his promise the whole way through, and I would like to say that I kept my promises. But that wasn't always true. Sometimes I didn't keep true to my promises, but I have to say this, 9 times out of 10, I did. Because my dad was coming back, and I wanted that gift. And in a very real way, God asks us to do a very, very similar thing. Live well until he returns, in the fullest sense of that word. Live well until he returns, to reclaim this world fully as his own, and to rule and reign as he intends. Yeah? That's our hope. That's the hope that Scripture holds forth for us. That the Lord will return and take back control of this world. That is the trajectory that Scripture points towards, the new creation. I love it. But he says, I'm coming back. I promise you that. But he asks us to live well until that point, to keep true to the promises that we make to him. And in that sense, we exercise faith. Particularly at the moments where we don't want to. Particularly in the moments where faith is sometimes an inconvenience. Sometimes it seems like the most difficult thing because it actually holds us back from what we want at that moment. But when we can't find the better motivation in ourselves, then we trust in God's promises and we dig deep and we find that extra motivation. The shield of faith, well, it helps us. And it helps us to extinguish those moments of doubt that the enemy fires at us. It is defensive in nature, and it is very, very powerful. We've seen there a very simple demonstration that even though a couple of you hit me, I have a funny suspicion that one of you two or one of you three come up and got me in the back, and I'm going to be getting his back after the service, I promise you that. But it was quite difficult for you to hit me, wasn't it? Yeah, because I was hidden behind that shield. Now, of course, when Romans went into war, they didn't send out an individual like myself, did they? They marched out actually as a battalion, and their shields locked together become a really, really formidable thing. Infantry working in unison, supporting one another, looking like this. And when we were at Soul Survivor this year with our young people, one of the messages that come through strongly both to the young people, but I think it's a truth that applies to us all, is that we don't isolate ourselves from one another. If you're a Christian, you get connected into a Christian community, a Christian family. I mean that in the wider sense of the word, because each of us exercising faith doesn't just protect ourselves individually, but it protects this community. And so, the kids are going to give us a little demonstration of that there. So, Tracy, I'm going to hand over to you at this point to corral the kids together with their shields. And if we can get the same volunteers who give the balls out, we're going to give them out again. And now we're going to see how the exercise works with a group of people holding their shields in place. Do you want to grab a microphone, Tracy?
Children, unite.
Okay, where are they? Yep, they're all coming. It's all right. We've got lots and lots of shields. So grab a shield and come and stand kind of in this bit here. And we'll arrange you. That's it, yay, well done. So we're going to need the big ones at the front and maybe the smaller ones up ahead on top. Oh, brilliant, you got the finger. We got any more left? Are we all done? Any more things to use? Perhaps you can come and sit in the go in the middle of them as well. See if we can protect you two guys too. So, can we have some over the top? We got any over the top? Perhaps come together a little bit. So maybe, Beatrice, you guys, do you want to come behind? So we're not as long, but we're a bit kind of, you know, like that. Is that going to do it? Is that going to protect you all? What do we think? It's pretty good. This one looks like a Roman soldier's one, doesn't it? So when you've all got your balls, we're going to try again. But this time, we're a community of believers. Because I was saying to one of the children earlier that Stefan could only hold his shield for so long. And then you get a bit tired and you want to put it down. And sometimes always seeing through on those promises. When we have people around us that recognise those promises and say, come on, you can do this. I've had lots of that. Then it's like holding the shields together. And it helps us. So we've got our awesome kids here, haven't we? Are you all protected nicely? Going to give them a clap? We've got all sorts of things. Okay. So are you ready, soldiers? Yeah? You ready? Yeah, we've got a big yeah. Okay, so how are we doing on the balls? We're getting there. You two are up front ready, aren't you? So I'll tell you what we do this time. Why don't I count you into it? And then, when we've all had one go throwing a ball, we'll see what damage we've done. So I'll count you down again to stop, yeah? So are you ready? Yeah? So 5, 4, get ready, guys. 3, 2, 1, go! I'm getting out of the way. Oh, ball's getting thrown back. This is good. Go, Faith Warriors. That's. I love it. Oh, no, they're breaking formation. Stay together. Ooh. That was close. Okay, let's see what damage we got. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, stop! Paul, boys. Stop for a moment. Right, how many balls got through the shields? Oh, we got a three. Do you think we need to pull together a bit then? But you didn't get hit. That's good. That's really good. So you're all safe and you've all looked after each other. Well done. Anybody get hit by a ball?
No.
Yep, got some over that way.
Yes.
So what does that tell us? What do we need to do?
Not have a giant finger.
Yeah, maybe not have a giant finger. But I did like the way you batted it back though, Xander. That was really effective. And so maybe we need to stand together, don't we? Because we're quite long that way. Yeah, you like that, don't you? So do you think we could stand together? Come this way a little bit. Has anybody got any balls left, or are we all kind of balled out? That's right, we just kick them that way. So if you hold yours here. Sorry, give us a minute. That's it. So big ones at the front. You get down.
Guys, okay.
People at the back. Okay, folks, can you go this way? So it's really squished up together.
This way, that way, in that spot there.
Can you take your shield and go? We need some shields up like this, see? Like this. Got it? Some shields up. Can you put your shield up like that? Yeah, so it's over your heads. Yeah? So this way. That's it. I think we're getting there. Can you do one over for me? Just like that. Like that kind of thing. Yeah? So come behind. Sorry. Sophie, go behind. So guys, that's it. So put your shields up over your head, apart from the ones at the front, okay? Right. Right, shield up, that's it. Shields over your head, that's it. And if you squat down, We need a bit more protection just here, guys. Any more shields? Okay, pull, squish over this way. That's it, squish this way. This way. Sorry, we haven't had a practice, so. Okay. Okay, this way, guys, this way. Keep coming, that's it. I don't think I'm gonna make a general or anything like that anytime soon. That's it. Well done. That looks a bit better, doesn't it? If you go that way, Jake, you go that way. That's it. And sit down. Put your shield up. Yeah, that's better. Right, this way, Sophie. Sophie, this way, and it's the boys. And put your shield up. Yeah, that's better. That's better. Okay, you can have one more go throwing your balls, okay? Because Tracy's getting a bit hot now. Right. Okay, heads down then, people. Set. Zach and Zahn, you got your heads down? Where's the finger? Is it protecting your head? Okay, let's do the five. I'll peg out of the way, haven't I? Thanks. Right, are you ready? Five, four, three, two, one, go! That's better, isn't it? We need a few more shields, I think. Oh, cheeky. These guys fight back, don't they? That's so funny. Oh no, they're breaking formation again. Uh-oh. Careful. Protect your faces. Okay, I better pull it back. Five, four, three, two, one. Stop the balls. Well done. Should we give our crowd of volunteers a big hand of applause? Yeah, I can hold it myself. So you see, faith isn't easy and it's messy.
Thank you, Tracy. I think Tracy needs a round of applause as well, doesn't she? As much as that's a bit of fun, I hope that the listener isn't lost in all of that there. That actually, each one of us has a responsibility to put on the shield of faith, that it is an important thing that the Lord has given us, and it really, really is important not to get isolated. And you could see that when the kids stayed together, it was genuinely quite difficult to land a blow at them. The moment they scattered, the moment they got distracted and wanted to start throwing things back, what happened? They broke ranks, and all of a sudden they become exposed to attack. And I think that in Christian life, the same is very, very true. I see it time and time and time again. People who build Christian friendship, people who stay rooted and connected in family, they go the distance, actually. And that's not to say that sometimes a blow isn't landed. That's not to say that sometimes we don't lose focus. That's not to say that sometimes bad things don't happen. They very obviously do. But the Lord has commanded us to live together as a community, as a family, as a body for a reason. And it's not a peripheral thing. It's not an add-on. It's an essential element of what it means to be a Christian. And I wonder, and I'm just going to ask the band if they could just come back up just to play our final song. But I wonder if we can just quietly in our own hearts just make a commitment to have our shields in place, to actually exercise faith, to put the promises of God before our own desires, our own wishes, that we would be those who would be faithful in arming ourselves in the most appropriate way as the representatives of Jesus in his world. So just take a few moments and ask the Lord to speak to you what he needs to, what he needs to say, to be alive and to be responsive to that. Lord, we acknowledge at a very foundational level that faith is a gift. It is something that you give us, that you enable us to both hear and to respond to your promises, as well as to receive them. And we look to Jesus, the ultimate expression of our promise-keeping God. You promise to take him through death and back to life. You've promised that he will reign. So we look to him and his promised return. Keep us faithful, Lord. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Lord, may we be those who have our shields firmly in place. Help us to carry them. We ask and we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. end of our service. I think our kids deserve a little round of applause. Thank you for all the stuff you've been doing over the summer. And the same goes to Tracy and the kids' church team as well. You're brilliant, and we thank you so much for all that you do. Normality will resume next week. The adults will be thankful to hear, but we look forward to seeing you then, 11 o'clock, same time and place here at the People's Church. And in the meantime, may the Lord be with you. Our simple prayer for you this week, may the Lord be with you. Amen. Amen. Thank you.